there, grinders, and welcome back to another episode of the Experience Grind Podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences that we've made or had or something along the way. My name is Sean, and in the year 2525, man is still alive. If woman can survive, they may find Kyle. What's going on, bud?
Shot my mom in the water tit insert.
Okay. With your mammary cannons?
You gotta have those mammary cannons.
Yeah. In the year 4545, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to chew. Nobody's gonna be looking at you, Brian. What's up?
Oh, you know why we're not gonna need anything to chew? Because of my steady stream of pink vomit.
God damn right. And last but not least, Ryanus, what's up, bud?
Nothing much. It's just down at the clerk's office filing all my scripts like one does to show their love and affection.
I love and affect that.
I saw him farming yeast.
Yeah.
All my scripts are about yeast.
I saw him farming yeast behind the tool shed.
Shh, don't tell.
You know, listeners who don't know anything like what we're talking about, they've probably never seen Gentlemen Broncos. And let's be honest, they probably have never heard of Gentlemen Broncos. So here's your chance. You can go watch that if you want. And I don't say that in such a way that's like, you know, you're getting into something you might regret. But, you know,
I am.
Go watch that and come back. How did I know? anyways, it finished. I'm like, you know what? There's going to be people that watch and love Napoleon Dynamite that are just going to be haters. Anyways, have you guys heard or seen of this?
I've never seen of this.
Nice.
Also never heard seen of this.
No.
Heard of it vaguely. Knew it was by the guy that did Napoleon Dynamite. Nothing much more beyond that.
Right on. Ryan?
Heard of it. Never seen it. Passed it many times in family video on the shelf and just never picked it up, I guess. I don't know. Never heard anybody talking about it to make me really pick it up.
Same.
Why?
I feel like when this came out, they were trying to do like some sort of guerrilla marketing campaign with Jemaine Clement's character. And I think ads for his character, but never wanted to look further into what it was.
It was amusing. Awesome. And then you're like, okay. And then all that's right.
I'm going to move on with my life.
I don't even remember anything like that. And this is like 2009. Was there, like, what else came out in 2009? That's obscuring.
Law-abiding citizen, like, which this. I feel we were way too generous to.
100%. 500 Days of Summer.
Paranormal Activity.
Oh, that was huge. Okay.
Which is good. Where the Wild Things Are Too. Not great.
I disagree on that one.
Saw 6.
Yeah.
The best one.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
That's what everyone says.
Paul Blart Mall Cop obviously made Paul huge Blart waves was out then? In the film industry. Uh-huh. I think February of that year, January maybe. It feels like a January movie. So it
went way earlier in the year, yeah.
That's
I've
crazy.
Have you seen Paul Blart?
I've seen both of them.
Mm-hmm. I forgot there was a second one.
Paul Blart.
Second one, like,
yeah. Avatar came out. How did that get greenlit? Right?
How'd they get that greenlit? Because the first one was a big hit.
Kevin James makes money. Kevin James made bank. He was pretty, reliable. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what critics thought, like, audiences showed up.
All right. Well, nobody's ever heard of this.
No.
And if you're like, hey, I don't want to take the time to go watch this, then that's fine. I'll tell you what it's about. So what we've got here for Gentlemen Broncos is it follows a dad and his two sons And the dad starts killing people. And the reality of the situation is everybody just thinks he's crazy because he's like, angels have come to me. And he's like, these people I'm killing are actually demons. And one of his sons is all on it. One of them is not. And conveniently, the one that's not is, he's on the list to get the axe. Uh-huh. Get it? Oh, he's going to get the Otis. And dad doesn't kill that son, but the son kills the dad. And this is all being told to us as from the point of view of that older son that, kills his dad. But swerve, swerve, swerve. It's actually the younger son. And the last person on his list is the FBI agent that he's talking to, who he then kills. And it turns out that it wasn't going crazy. They were actually killing demons because they are evil demons. And that's the story of Frailty. But Gentlemen Broncos. Gentlemen Broncos is about a teenager who goes off to a writing fest convention thing. He does sci-fi, and while going there, he meets a couple of people on the bus and becomes friends with them, I guess. While at the convention, one of his writing idols, played by Jemaine Clement, Dr. Ronald Chevalier, does a little workshop there.
Chevalier,
sure. I am going to get that wrong every time it was said during the movie. I said it to prep myself, and I'm like, I'm never going to get this.
Never going to remember it.
So during this workshop, he says, listen, whoever submits their stuff, and we say it's the best, it's going to get a 1,000 print run printed that will go to all of the states. And so they all submit their stuff, and we find out that Chevalier, is that his name? Is that how we say it?
It's close.
Okay. Chevrolet, he's not putting out hits. So he's about to get dropped by his publisher. So he swipes a pretty good piece, which happens to be written by our main character, Benjamin Purvis. So after that, it's crazy. It's crazy. The two friends that he had met, Tabitha and Lonnie, offered to buy Benjamin's piece and turn it into a movie. Little do they know that Chevrolet has stolen it and changed a couple of key details here and has put it out, and it is a massive hit. But unfortunately for Chevrolet, Benjamin's mom has been submitting all of his pieces to get registered, and it all comes crumbling down for Chevrolet. That's the basis of this movie. That's pretty much how this movie goes. That is taking a wide berth around this movie. So as always, we are going to start with story on this, and I do want to start with Ryan here.
Oh man,
you usually get it easy on some of these.
This is true. I just know with this movie, I do feel like it's going to be contentious, and I feel like there are going to be many opinions about this movie. And I was really hoping to see how everybody shook out first.
I wanted a nice balanced voice to start us off, Ryan.
It's fair and balanced, like my good old daddy. His name escaped me. Alex Jones. Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Jones. Oh, you mean your real dad, because I know your real dad watches it too.
That's one and the same. He might be my real daddy. I don't know. Story on Gentlemen Broncos.
Story and script.
Whoo, this is interesting. I like a lot of the story here. I think the story is at times kind of messy, but in a way that never actively bothered me. more so I was just like curious as to why they structured things the way they did. And big point is you've pretty much have like the A plot, which is Michael and Garino's story of like a kid has a script, does all this stuff, kind of finds out people around him use and manipulate him, and like he's got to be like kind of more careful in the world, all this stuff. And there's that story. Then there's Jemaine Clement's story where he's like actively taking it. And it's surprising that it takes so long for those two stories to like finally connect. And it's like literally in the final act of the movie, kind of far into the final act of the movie. And then the big drama is kind of like undercut because like Michael and Garino finds out in one scene about the script, confronts Jemaine, punches him, nothing's really done, goes to jail, and then in the next scene it's resolved by his mom with the scripts, and they don't like let it sit, and like they don't make that drama like hang out, and it's just, it's weird, and maybe that's the intention of the movie, is to like kind of subvert all of that, and it's not, whatever. It's interesting. It is a very interesting movie, and it's one where I think the story specifically, I think I appreciate it more than like I actively maybe enjoyed it while watching it. And doing very, very, very brief like readings into this movie, I did see somebody say that it is a coming of age story for a straight man in a feminine world, which is a very interesting read, and then kind of reframed a lot of things. I was like, oh, actually it kind of makes sense with the single mom being kind of like his like savior and the one doing all the protecting and looking out for him and all this. And then he works in like the ladies' clothing store, does drag at like one or two occasions. Like it is, there is something about gender here. I don't know if it's intentional or not. They're just maybe playing with it. Like they play with like, I don't know, poop and fart and throw up jokes. And so like, it's this weird thing where it's like, how much of this is intentional? And then like, how much of this is just people goofing off? And I'm not entirely sure. And I think that's what's holding me back from like really getting more into the story, because like this should be something I'm super into. I like love like movies about artists struggling to like find kind of their voice and like their place in the world when the world doesn't necessarily maybe want their art or doesn't know how to take their art and try to maybe subjugate their art. I can't think of the word right now. Anyway, I think that's all very fascinating. And I think the movie kind of scratches at that without ever like really diving into it, I guess. And it's fine. It's a comedy. And I laughed quite a bit at this. There's some just really weird random shit. So this is big, big, long-winded way of saying I think I'm at like a 3, but like a very high and positive 3. Like, I like this. I don't love this, and I don't know why I don't love it, because I feel like it's not too far off from Napoleon Dynamite. But I also think maybe if I see Napoleon Dynamite now, maybe I don't love Napoleon Dynamite as much as I did earlier. So I don't know. I am not a, let's say, diehard, I'm going to die. Napoleon Dynamite is the best thing Jared Hess has ever done. I don't know if that's true. I just don't know why I didn't love this one. That's it. That said, I am really curious as to Brian's thoughts, because I think I know Kyle's leaning negative. What? Is what? My guess. So that's not going to be a surprise.
What? No. A lot of what you said resonated with me. I think whoever wrote this, and I know it was Jared Hess and Jerusha Hess, we're paying attention to a lot of small details and connecting small things, but I feel like they missed a lot of opportunities to like, so the story within the story with Sam Rockwell as Bronco / Brutus, depending on who's telling the story. I feel like it could have tied more into the plot of what was happening in the real world. I think that would have been a nice way to kind of bring the two together and kind of show the growth of either or both characters. But the two felt so separated, and like one was just there to be goofy and do weird stuff. That said, I think like the real world story is very easy to follow, despite there being a lot of different elements to it. And I think it's told pretty well as far as story goes. There's a very slow pace to it because it's living in that Napoleon Dynamite world where they want it to be slow and awkward, and you really feel what's happening as if it's like more realistic, I say in quotes. But yeah, I think I'm with Ryan on this. It's a high three for me, but it's a three. And let's hear what Kyle thinks.
No, you don't want to hear what I think, because I love it. So not me.
Oh, God damn it.
Fascinating week. I do love this. I have almost, I'd say, zero awareness of this film. So I was able to go in, fully clean slate, did no reading, completely neutral, experienced the movie, and to impersonate a cartoon character, it stinks! No, for real. First time in a long time, fellas, I fucking hated this movie. Really, honestly, did not like it throughout, wanted to. But man, I have what you guys said about the story are all complaints I have about it. I think it's very disjointed, very spread out over way too many people. Overall, it's easy to follow, but so much just happens. I'll talk maybe more in style, but he's obviously trying to recapture the Napoleon Dynamite magic again, and it just does not happen at all, and it feels very forced. But story-wise, like, it just... The only thing that I really liked and popped for was the mom saved the day. I thought this was going to revolve around the post-dated check and the movie being filmed simultaneously. I felt that had no fucking payoff. It was just done to have the wacky scenes inserted of the movie, so it was just wasting time. It had nothing to do with anything. I did like that the mom saved the day at the end of the day, and I thought it was clever, but like you said, they don't even live in the moment. It's just a story beat to jump to him getting his revenge, and that's even bittersweet because you don't even see it happen. We see a weird, quiet phone call and then books being pulled off the shelf and replaced. And then we just infer and assume that everything went well. He sets up the fashion show for his mom, which, again, it's weird. Like, I don't know, because on paper, this is like almost beat for beat Napoleon Dynamite. But the way that it doesn't work in the way that Napoleon Dynamite does or did, it's just very weird for me. But overall, like, I didn't like a lot of the story, and I guess maybe more problems with the characters, which I guess I'll get to as well. But story, I'm a 2 on, and that's a pretty low 2, to be honest. I wasn't impressed. And by the way, like Brian said, the Sam Rockwell, nothing in this movie. Those parts could have been completely removed. What the fuck? Again, more time waste, I feel. I didn't see the point of any of it. So, again, that's me at the low 2. And Sean, see where we're at.
I'm going to do this in a way that I don't think I've done it before. I'm going to give you guys the things that I liked and the things that I didn't like. Mm. What I did like, things that I did like. I liked... you guys had touched upon kind of the story that was going on and the stealing of the book and how it didn't meet till the end. But I also liked the third part where he's struggling with it being out of his hands, what people are doing after they purchased his book to turn into a movie. I liked that each thing had its own part and it's its own place. And so I never really had a problem with it kind of coming to the head at the end with the stealing of the book, because other stuff was already still going on. I like that. I liked him going from the guy that will just say yes to everything and massage disgusting amounts of moisture into somebody's hand, to then going to confront the guy that's trying to sleep with his mom, and then hitting Chevrolet in the face with a beanbag doll. Like, all of this, like, kind of coming into his own and having his own, you know, standing up for himself and standing up for other people. Like, his growth through the movie was great. What I didn't like was the fact that it's a good story. It's easy to follow along with. But so much of this movie is driven and moved along by these inserts of the scenes that don't particularly matter. And, like, while I enjoy all of those scenes, I liked all of the stuff, all of the Bronco stuff. I liked all the Brutus stuff. But if I were to take a step back, it has zero impact on the story at all. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have any impact on it has an impact on the script score, but I think the scripting of the actual people was way better. But that's intentional, because this is a 13-year-old kid's writing, you know, their dialogue's not supposed to be good. And I take all of that with a grain of salt, but also a little bit more, because, like, that's intentional. That's good. It was done very well. But overall, it has no impact on the story at all. And so I'm going a low 3 on this, which will bring us to characters. Kyle.
You mentioned, too, again, talking about story elements, there's a fucking massive shootout with an actual gun. He shoots a guy with a poop-stained dart, and then nothing of it. No interaction with the police there. Then he hits a guy with a beanbag chair and is immediately arrested. It's just so all over the place.
But the security was at the store, you know?
And he had precision aim hitting that man in the tits when, like, he missed real bad and hit his mom earlier. So, no, like,
he hit his mom on purpose because he didn't want to shoot the cat. He had perfect aim. That's why he hit the tit again. That was a good. I'll give that credit.
That's the interpretation. I thought it was just a fluke that he hit the mom. Like, no, I know he didn't want it.
If you watch, he intentionally aims away from the cat before he blows it. He's aiming right at his mommy and hits her right in the titty. And then he hits that guy in the tit too. But, again, problems with story aside. Characters.
Characters. Let's start with Brian.
With me?
Yes.
All right. Jennifer Coolidge is putting on a fucking clinic in this movie.
Yeah.
And that's about as much praise as I can give. I like Benjamin's arc. I think he's the only one who has a full arc. I actually am a big fan of Dusty. I think he's just goofy and weird, but also just there for the sake of being goofy and weird. So also, anytime that Lonnie was on screen, I was laughing, because just his face makes me laugh. And anytime he was on screen, I was giggling. Really did not like Tabitha at all. She seemed very manipulative, and, like, the romance arc at the end came out of nowhere, and it just didn't like it. Yeah, I think overall, I think Jennifer Coolidge is the high point of this cast. And this is a different role than you're used to seeing her in. It's a little more understated, a little more, a little less comedic, a little more serious. And I think she shines. This is another 3 for me. And I'd like to hear from Sean.
I think he nailed it. Jennifer Coolidge absolutely crushes it here. She's so... this movie is not down to earth. And this is not grounded in reality at all. And that's why I never really had many problems with any of the story that's going on in here. Because it's just... nothing's rooted in reality at all. It's just like... it's things for the sake of things to move this crazy story along. And I was here for it. She feels very grounded as a character, And as no matter what's going on in the world, she seems like the constant real of what's happening. Now, granted, going back to what I said, like, I know and I acknowledge and I accept that this movie's just crazy. And if I'm basing it and if I'm like judging people for not being realistically based in a movie that I know is not of this fucking world, then I'm doing a disservice to it. So with that in mind, fucking Dusty's fantastic. I love Dusty so much. The fact that Judith, Jennifer Coolidge's character, Judith gets a guardian angel from the church. Air quote, it's like a big buddy or a big brother or whatever, because she notices that Benjamin doesn't have many friends. And Dusty is the weirdest motherfucker in the world. Comes in with an anaconda that's shitting all over him. The first thing for fun is doing a blow dart out of this 4 foot long fucking tube. And he
dipping does it seem in to shit and rat poison.
My own poop. By the end of it, like, I believe that he is looking out for him by the end of the movie. That is like, I feel like that is a good character. Lonnie, like, you had me dying. I loved the contrast of Bronco and Brutus. Those were a lot of fun. But nothing really sent it over the top. Like, Benjamin is just so neutral point as like a main character that like, if I was at a 4, it's bringing it down to a 3. And I think like a high 2, low 3 is, I'll go 3 on this. And I'll send it to Kyle so Ryan can finish this one out.
Oh boy. So I guess let me get my enemies ready to go for the throat, because boys, I didn't like Dusty.
That's fair.
Didn't like it.
That's okay.
That's also, okay.
Elaborate.
That's the dude. Why? That's the dude that wrote School of Rock.
Mike, you know, White. That? Yeah, and the that HBO show everybody loves, The White Lotus.
White Lotus.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't. He just he again. He felt like a nothing character almost, and like a comedic relief in a movie with an overbearing amount of comedic relief already. I don't know, just kind of not needed. Fucking dog is scratching.
Get out of here. He disagrees with Kyle, that's why.
Run mine off.
He loves Mike White.
Anyways.
Dog loves Dusty.
I like Jennifer Coolidge. She's not my favorite in this movie. I think Jermaine Clement he was the only one I enjoyed really when he was on screen. Although I did enjoy a lot of Lonnie's scenes too, because it was, I think they kind of understood the assignment. They went weird with it. Well, Jermaine's is kind of just stereotypical egotistical douche, but the way that he plays it is it's fun. But I did not like Benjamin Purvis at all as a character. I didn't give a shit really what happened to him. So him being the driving factor of the movie was already sort of bad. And honestly, I thought Sam Rockwell was butt in this, man. He, to me, almost kind of was phoning it in.
No!
I don't know, man. Did not work for me at all. And I'm a Sam Rockwell guy. And I like the weirdness. But I think for the most part, I hated those parts of the scenes so much, even more. I don't know, like, they were so out of character and so purposely cheap that they weren't. It's just it's like when something tries too hard. I felt a lot of the times in this movie, and it just wasn't working for me, especially characters wise. And I don't know what the magic sauce is, because for a lot, I think Lonnie's character is trying too hard, but that essence of it worked for me, and I can't fully articulate why, but it reminded me a lot of Pedro just in a different way. And I don't know. Overall, though, I did not like the characters. And I'm honestly, I'm pretty harsh. I didn't like really any of them. You guys, Tabitha was terrible. I'm at a one on characters, boys. So
I have, has any of you guys seen Margo's Got Money Problems?
No,
not yet. I want to because of your recommendation.
Okay. I didn't realize until probably like half an hour before we recorded that Michael Angarano plays Mark, which is like her guy thing. From the that creates the child, right? And I texted Sarah. I'm like, holy fuck! No wonder the whole time I was just looking at him, being like, I kind of hate your face. I don't know what it is about you. It's not Ewan McGregor level, but it's like
Ryan, lift us back up.
I will. I'm gonna be super defensive mode, but know that I think I'm gonna 100% gonna be at a three, right there with everybody else. But hot shit, goddamn, there were shots fired, and I will not have it at my Sam Rockwell. You're not wrong. His parts are weak. They don't belong here. But that man is goddamn lightning in a bottle and brings life to this movie. And I will fucking gladly take his Brutus, like, doing Rip Taylor. Fucking yes, please. Like, he fucking...
I liked Brutus more than Bronco.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Oh, well. Absolutely. So I do like the delivery of my reproductives. Like, I don't know. I feel like we're being way too harsh on Sam Rockwell here. I think Sam Rockwell's great. Nads. He just was given a part that didn't need to be in this movie. They should have killed your darlings. He is so good. He just doesn't belong in this movie because it just doesn't tie into everything. But he is amazing. Sorry. He is amazing. And I am going to also defend Blantost Benjamin. I think he's given a real fucking hard ask here. Because outside of Jennifer Coolidge, who is grounded but still is allowed to like do some real bigger comedic moments, he is the straight man and pretty much he's not silent. He does talk occasionally, but he's pretty much just like reacting with looks. And there is like something to like having to be task. And like, I know this was a director choice that he doesn't smile until the very end of the movie where he's in prison and he learns that the scripts have been registered. That is the first time he smiles. So like when you're given that director note, of like you have to be understated and restrained an entire fucking movie and let everybody else around you take the scene. And somebody else pointed out there are an abundance of comedic relief characters, too many. I don't fault him necessarily. I think he had a very tough ask. And so I will defend him a little bit. Also, Sky High is amazing and he's delightful in it. But I'm right there with a three. I think otherwise, like some of these characters are pretty hit and miss. I'm glad other people are really enjoying Lonnie. I fucking hated that character. Did not think anything he was doing funny. And from the moment they were lotioning her hands and he was doing the...
I liked that. I was like, okay,
cool. I hate this. This is not for me. I don't like this. So he didn't work for me, but I'm glad he's working. I think that kind of speaks to like, the weirdness of this cast. I don't think it's perfect, but I think there's something here for everybody. There are like different humor beats for a lot of people. I don't think it's only one type of humor. So, yeah, three.
Man, I want to, for all of you that didn't watch this, let me contextualize what Lonnie's character, all of these are teenagers, and he for some reason has a fucking production company that shoots the shittiest production value movies ever, and he's done like 87 of them at this point.
And they all seem like they're gonna eventually turn into porn.
Yep.
Yes, dude. Yes. It's just so fucking stupid. So stupid. Which stupid takes us into the next category, which is style. Which I want Kyle to start this one off.
Oh boy!
God
you
damn!
You gotta go somewhere in these.
Oh boy!
Band-aid.
It's crazy. I've never heard of this movie, and man, it rubbed me the wrong. Also, I got it. I will say, I guess as good point as put it as any, 100% failed the Mandy test. She walked out about 50 minutes in. She's like, "All right, I can't take any more of this," and she was over it and left me there to sit there and finish it. But like I kind of alluded to it earlier. You guys might be talking me up on this one. We'll see. So much of this feels like, I said, he was trying to capture what made Napoleon Dynamite work and push it to the forefront. And at least for me, that just did not work. And looking at the box office returns, I'm not alone in that estimate. But, it's on the, I like the style. I do like this aesthetic, this weird, offbeat, slightly quirky, like weird jeans before they were cool again. Rhinestoned out. What do they call it? Bedazzling shit like that. I also don't know, like, cause it's a big part of Napoleon Dynamite too. But was it closer in Napoleon? I don't know. Something about it to me feels forced, like I said. And maybe I'm wrong in this. But it feels like trying to capture lightning in a bottle. And just style-wise, was still kind of all over the place. Like I said, there's so many different things happen. I don't... Like, Dusty is weird. But he's not weird like Lonnie is weird, or like Tabitha is sort of weird. How in like, I can't really put the finger on it, but it's different levels. And even like the movie within the movie, I didn't like that style, like the deer and how it's just literally stuffed deer. And then they have rockets on it. I didn't. Hell yeah. I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. Like, because the fucking Cyclops are incredibly intricate special effects. Why then are we cheaping on the... I don't know. I didn't like it. I was kind of angry at it the whole time. I had two here that I crossed out, and I've written one again on style. So, like I said, let's see if we can talk me up. I will kick it to Brian.
Start all right, well, agree to disagree.
Okay.
Yep. I think the style is the one thing this movie has going for it more than anything else. I love the two different author interpretations of the story. Even though the story doesn't need to be there, and it takes away from the movie, and it interrupts and is weird and doesn't connect... The fact that there are two completely different interpretations based on two different authors is so good. And they're wildly different. And, well, except for the stuffed deer that you mentioned. They're actually, the stuffed deer are the same in both interpretations, which is kind of strange. But, yeah, because, like, Benjamin's version is this, like, this gritty, almost Dune-esque kind of reality. And then... Chevrolet's version is this bright pink, poppy, campy kind of sci-fi style. And it's just, they're very different. And I love the way they achieved both of them. And then the real world is like this really washed out, sepia toned, like just drab, dull existence. That is just, when you compare it to the story, I don't know. It's very interesting. I think you have a lot of washed out browns but I think as the story goes, more color comes into it. And I think that's an interesting choice, but mostly I want to talk about the goddamn soundtrack. The music in this movie is surprisingly good. The score, I don't remember. I don't remember a damn thing about the score, but the needle drops in this are fantastic. So on that alone, it's going to bump me up. I think I'm going 4 on style. I think this is the best part of this movie. And I'm going to send it over to Ryan.
I am glad that you bumped it up. Allow me to bump it up higher. I think this is right in line with a Wes Anderson movie in terms of style. I am dead shocked that, Kyle, you're at a one, because this resonated with me in the way that Moonrise Kingdom kind of appropriated its style. I loved the book cover opening. Loved the book cover opening.
That was really cool.
Loved that. The set design, like their house and like the purples in it and like the just like the dome structure. It's very ball shaped. She also makes like a lot of balls. It, again, the gonads, the reproductive, like it all ties in with this weird idea of gender. There is something here. I'm telling you, there is something to the gender in this movie, and I don't know what it is yet. And then purple makes me think something too. I don't know. But I love the set design here. I found the real world to be as bright and colorful as the imaginary story world. I think that one's definitely ramped up with like the almost like pink fuchsia, like kind of like 80s, 90s, like that kind of color palette. I love that color palette. I think it's really good. But I also thought they were able to incorporate like a lot of bright colors into the real world too. I loved the weird popcorn shaped things like that. She made the popcorn car. Like there's a lot of just like really clever artistic small touches that they didn't have to do. This is a movie where it's like whatever their fucking budget was, you can see it. I think they put their heart and soul into the style, and I'm not even really going to touch on like the music, because I also agree. I don't remember any of the score, if there even was a score, but the needle drops were very fitting. And not the ones that you would expect for, like, a movie of this type. They're not, like, the obvious ones. So, I'm at a 5. I think this is, like, the perfect style. I agree with Brian. Like, this is where this movie, like, it knows what it's doing. I think this is a better style than Napoleon Dynamite had and steps it up, like, significantly. I don't think it's as solid as Napoleon Dynamite, but the style is on point. Sean.
And taking that and running with that a little bit, I don't care for Napoleon Dynamite. I appreciate what this movie did and taking like the weird obscure and just like cranking it to 12. Like if you're going to do it, like crank it up for me. And this movie really did that. Brian touched upon it a little bit in the interpretations with the two different Bronco and Brutus. And what I really love about that is it's like their interpretations, like especially the Bronco thing, it's an interpretation in like the mind of Benjamin, you know, it's like, and that's what's really lending to this really cheap appeal to it, where some things are really well done and some things are really shit. Like that deer is literally the cover of his notebook. Like that is like, you know. So I love what they did there. I love the palette of the movie. All I could think about for the first 15 minutes of this was Wes Anderson. That's all I could think about. And I love like kind of the muted saturation. So not like more browns, and there's definitely still colors there, but it's like almost like a muted saturation where I'm constantly trying to, like, until I heard Tabitha say email, I was trying to figure out what the year was. And even when she said that, I was trying to figure out what the year was. And then I saw a Motorola Razr and I was like, okay, I think I know what it is. You know what else? Oh my God. This is such a nice touch that Chevrolet has a fucking Bluetooth earphone on his ear and always receives a call from a different, like he never receives a single phone call on that. It's always from a different device. And that is such a fucking fantastic touch for his character. I love the music. I thought this movie oozed style. Oozed style. Somebody give me a hand massage. Five for me on this. God, we talk you up anywhere or no?
I've been staring at Sam Rockwell in this Brutus wig for the last 5 minutes while you guys talked, and I'm ready to bump up to a 2 based on the wig alone.
We
and
won.
That blonde mustache.
Well, just blow on it. Just blow on it.
Just blow on it.
Blow on it.
I did really enjoy the Bronco felt so generic, but Brutus was something. It at least was memorable.
I saw a review of this where the first thing that it says is you will know within 2 minutes if you are going to make it through this entire movie. And I respect that. I know that this is going to rub a lot of people the wrong way, or not even rub the wrong way, but like you are not into this. I get it. But man, the full send and commitment to the crazy, I fucking love. But that brings us to direction. And I'll start here. I don't think I've started one. I think, who did this? Jared Hess. Jared Hess did this, did Napoleon Dynamite. He had Nacho Libre. This is the first one that I actually really enjoyed out of those three. Like the other ones, I never quite got the about it, you know. Again, respect it. Like they're big for a reason, right? But this is the one that like went to the level that I wanted it to like get to that real enjoyment factor. And I think with him and Jerusha writing this, like I feel like for better or for worse, they got to what they were trying to do with this movie. I don't know if there was any troubles or if really anything was cut out. It feels like this was a vision that was written and done. Again, for better or for worse, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, I think they're the way that the movie came out, we referenced Wes Anderson a handful of times. Last category, visually, this is very striking. Framing wise, I thought this was really well done. I don't know why I went first because I never know how to really quantify this, but I think, I don't know, man. It's crazy that this had a budget of $10 million and it made $11,000 in opening. Did this open in three theaters?
I think because of the early negative reviews that they pulled it.
They pulled it. It did so bad they pulled it within a week.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what to make of that, but like looking at this, like they made what they wanted to make, and I think they did a good job doing it. I don't know, four. I'm going to go four, and maybe I'll change it after. And I'll send it to Ryan. Why did I go first? It was my choice.
I like that you owned it, though. You went with it. Jared Hess, he did Napoleon Dynamite. He did Nacho Libre. He also did the Minecraft movie.
Yeah,
and then a little movie called
Down to a Two,
Don Verdeen, with Sam Rockwell again that I saw, which was mid as fuck, not even as good as this one. Looking at all of his movies, I feel pretty mixed on a lot of them. I am more positive on this one, and honestly, I think this might be in his top three, whatever that says. I think it is. I think there's an argument for it. His direction's good. I think, honestly, this might be one of his best directed movies for all of its flaws. Like, I think he really did something with kind of like the aesthetic that I don't see in a lot of his other movies. I think this is his best looking movie. I think it's edited in a really humorous way. I don't think in a way that necessarily always benefits the story. Hence my issues with the story, but I think it's always in favor of quirkiness or comedy. And so, like, I do think he kind of knows what he's doing, and he kind of gets there, and he's kind of successful. But it's all, like, kind of. I don't know. I have yet to see a movie, I guess, by Jared Hess. And, like, this, I guess, this is including Napoleon Dynamite. It's really, like, blown me away. Napoleon Dynamite was quirky and fun, and I remember enjoying it when it came out. But, like, it's not a classic of mine. I don't revisit it often. And I don't necessarily see myself doing with this one, though I don't regret watching it either. And I think this puts him kind of in that kind of mid-tier director. I don't think he's bad. I think he, again, for a $10 million movie, I think it's clear it's all there on the screen. I see it. He didn't just, like, put this into, like, Adam Sandler's couples retreat where we're going to just make a $60 million movie and it's all towards, like, us having a vacation. And it's not on the screen at all. It is just like, where'd this money go? Huh? Why is this $60 million? I think you see it here. So I would say he's a very competent director who gets his shit done, even if it's not, like, the best. So I think that puts him in the Journeyman 3. And I'm maybe even, like, a very high, very positive 3, but, like, I'm right. He's a solid 3, I think, for me. And this kind of confirms it. It doesn't really shake my opinion of him one way or the other. It just, like, cements. He is, like, maybe a 3 director for me. Kyle, bring us down.
Okay, so until I had seen this movie, whenever I did encounter people who said they didn't like Napoleon Dynamite and it didn't work for them and it didn't click, I didn't understand it because I do love Napoleon Dynamite. It is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. I still love it. I think it is hilarious. I think it nails his aesthetic perfectly. And I think that's kind of like my issue with that. And to a lesser degree, Nacho Libre, because Nacho Libre is more of its own thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel he's always trying to capture that Napoleon Dynamite energy. And he doesn't, and it feels so forced so much of the time. But, overall, I can't complain too much because this movie, you can follow it. You understand what's happening for the most part, unless you are just completely confused when Sam Rockwell shows up and you're like, where's this part of the story from? But it flows. I have serious issues with the story, serious issues with the character and with the style, but it's not a completely incompetent movie. He is trying. And I think I'm being very shitty. Like, he succeeds. He makes a Jared Hess movie. This feels like his style of movie. It just doesn't work for me. And for the reasons that I've complained about previously. So I'm not a hater. It sounds like I've been very haterish on this movie. And I'm not positive on this one either. I'm giving him a 2 in direction. But again, I'm not just shitting on it and going 1. But I don't think he achieved his goals in the best way. And it's a messy, somewhat sloppy movie that meanders a bit. And yeah, so I'm at a 2. Bry guy?
Yeah, I think coming at this as looking at a director / writer, it's hard to say that this isn't what he was going for. That said, was it successful? I don't know. There was a moment where when they're at this, writer's young stay at home. Was it homeschooled writers conference thing? There's a shot from the stage onto the audience. And I'm like, that's the exact same shot from Napoleon Dynamite. Like, it's the exact same shot. I immediately was like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Crowd shot from the stage.
Like I said, trying to seen this before from
this guy. Yeah, it does feel like there's a lot of trying to
felt cheap
catch that lightning in a bottle again. And it goes down to the editing of these long scenes that kind of dwell and to try to force this awkwardness. And I mean, it works. It feels awkward, but I don't know. This is I can't really disagree with anybody about what anybody said about anything. It's crazy how different his more recent, like Minecraft movie doesn't have any of that Napoleon Dynamite-ness to it. I don't know if it's just studio involvement has completely stripped him of his style or what, but that's not to say the Minecraft movie doesn't have a style. It absolutely does. And I think it actually nails what it's going for, but this is, I just don't know. I think there's a major disconnect between the book sequences and the main story. And that's what keeps holding me back. So I think I'm also going with a 3 on this one.
Nice. Man, going into, actually, can you drop me to a 3? You guys made me realize that I was much too high. I wonder if that shot, does anybody remember in Nacho Libre if there is a shot like that where it's, if that sort of, is just like his shot.
They show the crowds from his wrestling. Yeah. So it's kind of similar in composition. It's not exact because it's more action.
It's not like a, I'm thinking like, as you guys talked about, I'm like, is that just like one of his signature shots?
Maybe they do that actually.
I don't know, because I feel like in Nacho Libre, the crowd is more tiered than it is in the audience scenes in Napoleon Dynamite and this, where like it feels like it's being shot completely over their heads and they're just in the bottom half of the screen composition wise. But I don't know.
I was just curious. That leads us to entertainment. And man, I had said it earlier, right when the movie ended. I'm like, oh man, I really like that. And I was like, I know that. I feared. I'm like, I fear what the guys thought about this, because for the same reasons that I like this over Napoleon Dynamite, I feel it could easily go the other way. And that was kind of my fear coming into this. I'm like, there's gonna be one. I know there's gonna be one, and that is completely fair. And I'm just gonna kick this off. For as much as I enjoyed this movie. For all the reasons I liked it more than another movie, like realistically, like I'm not here to compare it to another movie. I'm comparing it to just, I'm watching it tonight. This was my enjoyment level of it. I thought that this movie was entertaining. I thought it was very serviceable. Did I think it was outstanding? No. Did I think it was great? No. Like, this movie, for me, entertainment-wise, I didn't look at my phone. It passed the phone test for me. I laughed a couple of times. I had a good time. I can't go below a 3 on this. That's a 3 for me, an entertainment value on this. And I will send it to Brian.
All right, yeah. I'm right there with you, man. It's when this ended, I didn't have that oh, that was good feeling. I had a what the fuck was that feeling.
Did you see the post credits?
There was a post
credit. What?
Oh my god, are you guys fucking serious?
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, I am because Amazon immediately cut it to the next thing.
It shrunk down the credits.
Oh, okay, so real quick, it was Bronco and Vinaya at the end, and he takes, like, he slathers her bald head in, like, this glue stuff and cuts off parts of his beard and starts putting it on top of her head before kissing her.
Okay.
I mean, that tracks. That tracks. That feels like 100% what this movie would do. Yeah.
And to split it,
I've got to find Sean laugh. And send it to you.
It did not make me laugh, so
it was so fucking outrageous. That makes sense.
Split it right there.
All right, yeah. I don't think that would change my "what the fuck did I just watch" reaction to this movie.
Yep.
Yeah, this feels like a one and done for me. Like, I've seen it, I don't need to see it again. Whereas Napoleon Dynamite is one I still would revisit. There were parts I liked. There were parts I got more involved in it than I thought I was. Like when his mom shows up and has the stories he's written, and she has it, they're all published. Well, not published, but you know, registered. I actually let out a cheer. I was like, yeah. I was just happy that mom came and saved the day. But like, I don't know, man. It's a three. It's a three. It's a three. It's right in the middle. And let's see what Ryan has to say.
I think that's about right. I also, like, again, this is an audio format podcast, but my face when watching this movie was mostly like, what are we doing? What is happening? But it became that kind of what are we doing in the way like the David Lynch movies that work for me. Kind of like, what is happening? Like, we're really playing with the form here. Like, this is not what we're supposed to do. But then there were like the what are we doings where it goes into like the gross out humor, which was a bit much for me. And it's like, maybe like one or two of them would have been good, but by the time we got to like the throwing up and then kissing after the throw up, I'm like, all right, what are we doing? So like, I had like, it's like, fuck this movie. And then like, sometimes it's like, fuck this movie. What are we doing? Like, I was so conflicted throughout my watching. And I kind of, again, this is why I think I said, like, I appreciate it more in retrospect than I did in the moment. Because I was kind of like a low-key offended at certain points. Like, why are we doing this right now? What is happening? Like, but I also kind of appreciate this because, and Kyle, who has yet to speak, might appreciate it. It feels very punk rock. It feels very much just like, we're going to do what the fuck we want. And I kind of low-key love that. I don't love it enough to give it more than a low three, but I'm right there at a low three. Like, for as much as this movie did not work at points, I am still fucking entertained throughout.
Yeah.
Kyle.
At the very least, intrigued.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Can you do a bonus point, but for negative?
can I quote another film review heroes of mine? Hated it. no surprise here. Before I give you my score, I can tell you the four bits that made me giggle, laugh. When he gets on the bus and hits a girl in the face with his backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When Lonnie is doing the ocean whatever sound while she's getting her hand massage, really got me. And he eats a Cheeto during part of it too. Also got a continued giggle. When they do hit his mom in the tit with the thing and Jennifer Coolidge just starts screaming and they just sort of awkwardly walk away. And what was the fucking fourth one? It was crazy. None of them were Jermaine Clement. Oh, when they're watching the premiere and Lonnie has dubbed over the dude's voice. And when he looks at him and Lonnie just side-eye looks at him like, yeah, I did that. I laughed at that part too. Those were the four parts I remember being actively entertained. And the rest, like you guys said, was like the dog staring at the answering machine while it's you're leaving a message for it. And it's like, what is... hated it. I can't give it a zero because I did entertain a little bit, but I'm absolutely at a low one. Did not enjoy this at all. Will never watch Gentleman Broncos again so far as I live.
I might, especially if there's a director's cut. I might.
I hadn't even considered a director's cut. I'd consider it.
You know, I was like, I'm not as well. And then you said that. And I'm back on board again. Son of a
Give
bitch.
Give us the Hess cut. Release the Hess cut.
You know what you just did?
I feel like Patreon, you got the Hess cut up again. They gave him $10 million. He wrote and directed. They bought it on spec.
$10 million is still small potatoes.
I think this is the Hess cut.
Compared to what was the budget for Napoleon Dynamite? I think it was like $300,000. It was something ridiculously small. It could be. So he knows what to do.
That was all like nobody's though, wasn't it?
Outside of Diedrich Bader. $300,000?
Yeah, but Nacho Libre was $35 $25 million.
That and also that came Jack before. Black.
Yeah, well, Jack Black was not $25 million. Like, all I'm saying is,
that's height of Jack Black era.
He took a pick. Jack Black did not make $25 million for Nacho Libre. There's just no way.
Oh no, no, no! But I was saying that was height of Jack Black era. Like,
that's but like, yeah, even taking away Jack Black's salary, like, he had so much more money for Nacho Libre than he did for this movie. He took a significant hit on this one, and I think it looks better than Nacho Libre does.
I can't help but wonder if the story in this is somehow influenced by them having to release some control over the story in Nacho Libre.
Ooh, that's probably it. It does feel like a Jean Favreau chef situation where you're frustrated with the system and you need to make a movie about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Again, I would have liked to have them explore that more. It's just a line said and glossed over. And I don't know. I liked that. That would have been interesting. I liked the struggle of the artist, like Ryan says. And I didn't get it from this movie like he did in other parts. Or the rest of you guys did too. I'm obviously the negative Nelly on this movie. But again...
so glad it's Brian
gives us the words.
So happy.
I'm way more in line with the general public than you three. So
okay.
No, I will say Kyle did bring to the Patreon for later this week. What are some things that had the opposite than intended purpose? Like, I went into this being like, I don't need to watch that again. But here I am being like, you know what? If there's an alternate of this, yeah, son of a bitch, I'm right back in. So if you guys are curious about what some of the other things are, go to experiencegrind.com and click on the Patreon link and go get a bonus episode every single week where we talk about that and also Kyle killing Tim Curry.
He did it. It's on the
he
record.
He did do that.
Yeah, and if somebody else dies next week. Yeah.
It's weird that boys. It would be a woman.
He did put something out there, so we will see.
He did. Just put it into the universe. Fingers crossed.
But Brian, give us our breakdown, and then I would love to, after you're done with that, let us know what you're doing next week.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. This thing is all over the place.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes, critically 20%. Audience 46%.
Ooh.
IMDb, cool. It's a 6.2.
What?
It's a masterpiece on IMDb.
On Metacritic, it's a 28. And on Letterboxd, it's a 3.3.
Holy shit.
It so it ranges from 20% to 66%.
Dude, if you go to Letterboxd, you will be surprised by like the number of 5-star and 4.5-star reviews. There are so many. This is clicking with a generation that is not us.
Yeah, this has cult potential.
What this screams to me is like, it almost looks like when you have a political divide between different websites, and it almost seems like there are certain types of like movie viewers that lean towards certain sites. And like, I don't think I've seen it ever so apparent on the screen as I have with this.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You definitely see the recency bias of IMDb and Letterboxd here.
After I watched it, I wanted to read some other people's thoughts too, what the general consensus was. And I, as I always do, I usually type that in with Reddit in the thing. And the first one that popped up was the Red Letter Media subreddit 2 years ago, asking Gentleman Broncos, have the guys ever mentioned this? And in that thread, I was shocked at the amount of people that really fucking like this movie, because the RLM subreddit leans heavily pretentious douchebag in the movie scale. Mm-hmm. And majority liked this movie a lot. And I was, again, it was like, what did I miss? Cause I did not like it, but, it is like you said, there's something in here for some people. It's not for, and again,
there's flavors.
I didn't get that till about Napoleon Dynamite till I watched this, because this nothing here worked for me at all. Did not
like your flavors.
But
I think
a lot of people like it.
Your most pretentious film nerds usually like to see a movie being made within a movie, and that'll always raise it up a little bit.
That's true. That is true. Mm-hmm. There's a little film wank. You get them little cine nerds in
here. Oh man, I love movies. Let's watch a movie about a movie being
a movie. Oh my god, it's Matt. I'm coming.
We're doing some happy boys. All right.
Man, it's so crazy to see this.
It's nuts. Oh. Next week. We're talking about a movie that I have never seen before. Ooh, and yes. I don't know if any of you boys have either. I suspect maybe one of you or two of you have seen this, but I don't know for sure. I came across this movie because I've been getting a lot of content from the Criterion. Speaking of pretentious film nerds, I've been getting a lot of Criterion closet videos in my social feeds of like celebrities going into the Criterion closet and picking out their movies. And this is one that has come up several times in recent videos that I've seen. It's been selected by, I noticed it when John C. Reilly picked it. And then when Paul Rudd picked it right after that, in like the two consecutive videos I watched, I was like, okay, there's something here. And then looking into it, I found out that Lisa Kudrow and Judd Apatow also selected this movie in their Criterion Closet visits. So, next week, we're going to be talking about the 1991 rom-com fantasy film, Defending Your Life.
Yay! Albert that's Brooks!
Excellent reaction.
This has been one that's been recommended to me so many times, and it's been on my list, and I've just not had so the time. Seen it. I have not. I've also not seen it. So excited.
Cool.
I have not.
I do love me some Albert Brooks, though.
It's apparently the Albert Brooks movie. Like, it is the one, apparently.
He's the villain.
And it comes highly recommended. So.
And he's fucking intimidating as shit. So.
God, I love that choice.
Well done, Brian. Wow. All right. Hey, it's one
that's been sitting in the back of my head for a while because of the Criterion.
It's one that
videos.
None of us have seen. That's what I love when it's a freshie for everyone.
Mm-hmm. I am. How funny would it be if I'm just like, yeah, I've
oh,
seen
yeah,
this.
That Defending Your Life? That
one fucking rando.
You're the one.
Oh, shit.
You would be the one.
But I'm not. I am so hyped for this. I love Meryl Streep, too. So sign me up.
Although I'm there too,
it's
got. Oh, all right, I'm back on board. It was rom com. I was out, but Rip Torn, I'm back in, baby.
Just when I thought I was out, you sons of bitches pull me back. Brian, I'm super hyped for that. I cannot wait for that, listeners. I hope that you're hyped for this, and I hope that you had a good time here. I hope you went and you know what. If you can find this movie, give it a couple of minutes and see if it's up your alley. There's no way anything that we said to this is going to change the experience that you would have while watching this movie. It's either for you or it's not for you.
Like, I agree with that review that said first 2 minutes will tell you all you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is funny because like three of the four things that made Kyle laugh were in like the first 2 minutes of the movie. So... maybe they're wrong, but if you enjoyed this, if you enjoy what we're putting out there, I referenced it a couple of minutes ago. Head on over to the Patreon. We have like an extra half an hour episode every week where we just talk about random stuff. It's seriously not as structured as this. Half the times by the time we record before this, and by the time this is done, half the time I don't remember what we talked about because it was just a flowy good time. So head on over experiencegrind.com. Click on the Patreon, little as a buckaroony, get some free episodes. And you can find the link to Patreon on there. But, no, I meant to say Discord. Yeah, you can find the link to Discord on there. And so and come Patreon. Hang out. Yeah, and Patreon.
It's all but, there.
If I don't see you there or in Discord or whatever, listeners... I'll see you next week, and go Bronco Nat yourself. Go
Nat yourself.
Go anus yourself.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Brianus. Kynus. Trainus. I loved his just trying to tell everybody how... their characters' names were just terrible and wrong. And he was just coming
up. Teacup is a little girl's name, not a troll name.
Are you trying to tell me what trolls' names are?